Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do, going beyond the headlines
and focusing on the facts. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 1,756 new confirmed COVID cases over the weekend, 942 in Lagos. We're missing one day's worth of data from Lagos, but as it stands, the weekend had more cases. This weekend, it had more cases than last weekend. The outbreak is growing, so Biko, take your precautions. Limit your movement. Wear a mask when you go out. Keep your distance from people when you can. Wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. And let's all do our part until we can all get vaccinated. I was having a conversation with my younger brother over the weekend, last week, before the weekend. And he was like, that he's going all over Port Harcourt, because, you know, that's where he is. That he's going all over Port Harcourt looking for where to get vaccinated, and there's none where he is. So he wants to go into other parts of River State to see if they have vaccines. And I'm like, calm down. There's no vaccine there yet. From this week, there'll be vaccines everywhere, so you can go and get vaccinated. And then he was like, auntie, you know, say you don't measure money, so... Because, like I told you last week, I incentivized it for him. I told him that if he gets a shot, for each shot, I'll give him 20,000. So if he gets his first shot, I'll give him 20,000. When he gets his second shot, I'll give him 20,000. And it worked, you know? And he's like, okay, where are they giving the thing? And now he's the one disturbing me every day. I went here, they don't have it. I went here, they don't have it. So I'm not the one who say calm down. Once it's available at the health centers around you, I'll let you know so that you can go over and get it. So perhaps that's something you can adopt for family members who are hesitant about getting the shot. You could incentivize them. Find ways to, make it worth their while. You're not the first to do it. I'm not the first to do it. We have governments all over the world doing it. People are offering all kinds of things. In places in America, they're offering, money. They're offering free food. They're offering cancellation of rent. They're offering all kinds of things for people to go and get vaccinated. Here in Nigeria, the Primary Health Development Agency wants to adopt a family type approach. So if you have young ones who need other vaccines, so maybe yellow fever, rubella, measles, all those other vaccines that children take, you can make it into a family outing. So everybody comes, the adults get free healthcare checks, the children get the vaccines that they need, while you also get your COVID vaccine. You heard it here from the director of immunization when he was on Hard Facts a couple of weeks ago. So everyone is trying to do what they can to get more and more people to get vaccinated. I mean, you even have Trump, of all people, in Alabama, of all places, telling people to go and get vaccinated. And he said it, and some people in the audience booed him. But it's gotten to that point where everybody don't realize, say, Omo, we're not supposed to play politics with this snake game. We're not supposed to play games with this snake game. It all read. So please, do all you can. Second hard fact of the day, voter registration is ongoing and you can register online. Go to cvr.inecnigeria.org. cvr.inecnigeria.org. C is for Charlie, V is for Victor, R is for River, O is for Orange, R is for River. G is for golf. Make sure you do your part to decide who your leaders will be and who your representatives will be. Because, hey, if you do your part, when we call, when all 1 million of you calling to this show to talk to me about the different matters, we'll probably be talking about them from a different light. And yes, 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. They tune in every day to listen to Hard Facts. I have a great show for you today, as always. Let's start with the coronation of the new Olu of Warri. Then let's talk about the Glory Okolie situation. She was arrested by police in Imo State over 72 days ago. I'm sure you've heard that story right by now. And she was allegedly forced to cook for the police and wash their clothes. Now, after an outcry, the police are saying that she's actually an IPOB spy. We'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about the FIRS saying that Rivers residents should ignore the court order for now and keep paying VAT to them. And then let's talk about the reactions to President Buhari revisiting grazing reserves. There's no checkpoint on Madam Landlord today. We're bringing you a special program about maternal, newborn, child and adolescent health. It's going to come your way every day this week from 4 p.m. On today's Big Hard Fact, we'll talk about the resident doctors strike. The government says that they're being unreasonable. NARD says that they've been more than patient. And today on Hard Facts, we're going to decide, well, who's right? Because I reached out to both sides, but only the NARD has agreed to come. And we're going to be talking to them at 5 o'clock. As usual, we're going to bring you the latest news updates every hour on the hour. But let's get right into today's big weekend. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. And these are your Hard Facts. All right, Lagos, are we missing opportunities with our cultures? Are we missing opportunities with our cultures? Gloria Okolie, is she an IPOB spy or a police slave? And who should control taxation, federal, state or local government? It's a question I've asked you before. I'm asking you again today. And finally, should the presidency be implementing grazing reserves? Or does this violate the Land Use Act? It was a really big weekend, Lagos. Let's get into it. Nigeria stood still on Saturday as the 21st Olu of Warri was crowned. Ogiame Atuashe III took the throne of his ancestors in a ceremony full of pomp and pageantry. And the world loved it. I loved it. If you were online this weekend, you must have seen all the praise for the coronation ceremony from Nigerians and from foreigners. You must have also seen all the interest in the customs and traditions that it sparked. And that really got me thinking, right? What could we be doing differently to maximize our traditional institutions? See, if you're watching us on Facebook right now, I'm showing you different footage from the weekend. So you can see the both regalia, you can see the crowning of itself, you can see all kinds of things happening from Saturday. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3, Nigeria Info 99.3, that's on Facebook. For YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info FM. I want to hear your thoughts, about what you're seeing, right? But yeah, like I was saying, watching that on Saturday, it's almost as if the universe is sending me a message. Because, I mean, last week, Thursday, we talked about traditional religions, right? And I was talking about why we don't respect traditional religions as much as we do, right? But having had that conversation with you last week Thursday, and then witnessing the coronation of the Olu of Warri, it got me thinking. It got me thinking, what could we be doing differently to maximize our traditional institution? I have an interesting hard fact for you. Or hard fact, because it's one hard fact. £1.9 billion. That's how much revenue the British monarchy was generating for the UK every year before the pandemic. 1.9 billion. That's about $2.7 billion. That's more than 1.3 trillion naira. And most of that is from tourism, merchandise sales, free media coverage worldwide. That last one, let me explain what it is, because people all over the world are interested in hearing about the British monarchy, right? The UK gets covered in various media globally without having to pay. What that does is free publicity. It's a great way to promote whatever your country is doing. Now, imagine for a moment if all our hundreds of kingdoms in Nigeria were positioned in the same way. Imagine if we saw them as something to showcase and export to the world. Could they also provide a source of revenue? Then apart from the revenue, there's the respect. I'm sure you've seen the video of Olusegun Obasanjo at the coronation. If you haven't, I'm showing it to you right now on our live stream. It's on our Facebook and YouTube live streams at the moment. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. President, former military head of state, elder statesman, and you can see him kneeling to greet the new king. Powerful stuff. A few months ago, before the Edo-Guba election, the Oba of Benin called all the candidates, including the governor, and made them swear to shun violence. Now, I'm not saying that that is why the election was not violent, too. I'm just pointing out that after that, they had a peaceful election. And it raises a question. Will the Nigerian public space be cleaner if our traditional rulers were able to enforce their moral authority? Do you think? And if you think that that's the case, how come it hasn't been happening? Some people will tell you it's not happening because, well, the political leadership has undermined traditional rulers, right? Speaking of which, something interesting happened to the new Olu's grandfather in the 60s. In the 60s, he reigned as Olu Erejua II. But during the First Republic, the government deposed him. And then he fled to Benin, where Oba Akinzua gave him refuge. And both kings placed a curse on Nigeria. And then on Saturday, his grandson said this in his first speech. Let me play you his speech. If you're watching on Facebook, I'm also going to play that for you so that you can see for yourself.
A curse was placed on the land by both of them. It is not recorded that Olu Erejua II reversed the curse over the land. Neither is it recorded that Oba Akinzua II did the same. Most probably, the issue was never revisited. As a firm believer in the intricate interconnectedness between the spiritual and the manifestation in the physical, it is our firm belief that the matter needs to be addressed. Today, in our capacity as Olu, we hereby avow. As the spiritual, cultural, political, and traditional ruler of this land, I, Ogiame Atuwase III, the 21st Olu of Wari, the first son of Olu Atuwase II, the grandson and direct descendant of Olu Erejua II, who was offended on this throne, I hereby reverse the curse placed over this land. In its place, I release forgiveness and healing to the federal government of Nigeria, whose might was used to propagate that offense. And I decree unprecedented and uncommon peace, prosperity, progress, development upon this land. I bring down the government of heaven onto this land, and I direct it to flow as a force that can neither be sabotaged, slowed, nor stopped. It goes out as a strong ripple effect emanating from this kingdom to the rest of the Niger Delta, to the rest of the Nigerian nation, and even the African continent.
The Olu of Wari there with his first speech as Olu of Ewere, Lagos. Did you watch that coronation ceremony? What did you think about it? Why have we not done more to maximize the economic value of our monarchies and traditional institutions? What about using their moral authority to improve the civic space? Why haven't we done more to do that? And what do you think about the Olu reversing his grandfather's curse on the land? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. Share your thoughts with us via WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. And there's Facebook where you can leave your comments with us as well. We're still showing you some of the things that happened while he was being coronated as king. It was quite the thing. It was quite the sight. I really liked it. I had goosebumps when I was watching. Did you watch? Did you experience it? Tell us what you think. 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you on the show.
Okay. You have Ibuka on the line.
Ibuka, welcome.
Was very nice one, though I saw the video.
Okay.
And matching it with what is shared now, it makes sense, because you know, when we talk of civilization, things evolving is for the human beings, also it's for the betterment of everybody, right? And I see the world is turning to be a global village. Intercultural practices ought to be, you know, welcomed, and where there is need for reform, it should be welcomed. You get.
Mm.
And now listening to him, I think he's bringing speaking accountability, speaking transparency, and you know, the blessing he unleashed on the land, which is the way to go. Because we suffered this very thing for many years, looking at our belief system, you know, what you have in your heart and you put it out, it's from the abundance of mouth, the mouth speaks, right, Joyce? Sandra?
Mm.
So he goes a long way, you know, now. You see your actions, your words, right? Because he's not just saying it and not going back to the last. We understand that traditional culture has been there very valid. Like what I said, intercultural practices, removing what is not. We've seen the crosses, the errors and everything, and we're trying to imitate or learn from other people just so we develop, we be better off, right? Because we do trade with this other country, we use the equipment, and we can't just, because we are having our own, we share from one source to place, and we say, let's continue in that way. No, we have to make things easy for human beings. You get Sandra.
Okay.
So it's a welcome development. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ibuka, for calling. Essay is in Ikorodu. Essay, welcome.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Good to have you on the show.
How are you?
I'm very well.
You see, you just played this guy's piece, and I was moved. I've not watched it too, but in fact, the guy is great. And I say a big amen to his prayer.
Okay. All right, Issa, thank you very much. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
You are with Lord Man on the line.
Lord Man, welcome.
We really, Nigerian youth, really appreciate the new king.
Okay.
But the only thing we expected from him, he will help us curse Buhari so that this country can move further.
How will cursing Buhari help the country move further? All right. Thank you very much for calling. Seriously, I mean, think about it. How does that help exactly? Now, that's not a question that you should call an answer, because I know that you people are very naughty. Next thing now, that's all the calls I'll keep receiving. So please don't do that. Thank you very much. Let's take another call. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon. Jane calling from Surulere.
Welcome, Jane.
Yes, there was nothing wrong.
There was nothing wrong?
Remember in the Bible, Jacob, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Jacob cursed Reuben, and it affected Reuben's generation. But in Deuteronomy chapter 29 or so, if I'm not making a mistake, Moses came and lifted up that curse.
Okay.
The men of Reuben were getting were being reduced day and day. But Moses came as a greater prophet and lifted up that cause.
Okay.
And that was the end of it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Jane, thank you very much. If you just tuned into the show, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info, and we are talking about the coronation of the 21st Olu of Warri. He was crowned on Saturday, Ogiame Atuwase III. He took the throne of his ancestors in a ceremony that was gorgeous. The world watched, the world loved it. It was streamed on the internet. Foreigners and Nigerians alike enjoyed it immensely, which is why one of my questions for today is what we could be doing differently to maximize our traditional institution. I told you that the British monarchy generates £1.9 billion for the UK every year before the pandemic. £1.9 billion. That's about $2.7 billion. That's more than £1 trillion. And most of that money is from tourism, is from the sale of merchandise, it's from free media coverage. Free media coverage is always a good thing because that's free publicity. So I started to look at what was happening on Saturday and how much everybody loved it. And I was asking myself, well, how do we turn this into generation, income generation for the country? How do we turn this into a money-making machine for the country? Because imagine for a moment if all our hundreds of kingdoms in Nigeria were positioned in the same way. Imagine if we saw them as something that needs to be showcased, something that needs to be exported to the world. Could they provide a source of revenue? I talked to you as well about the respect part of that institution, apart from the revenue part. You've seen the video of former president, former military head of state, elder statesman Olusegun Obasanjo kneeling to greet the new king. Would Nigerian public spaces be cleaner if our traditional rulers were able to enforce their moral authority? I ask that question not just because Olusegun Obasanjo went to kneel, but also because of the example I gave you earlier on about the Oba of Benin calling the candidates in the Edo Guber election, before the elections, including the Edo state governor, calling them to make sure that there will be no violence. Call them to come and swear that they will shun violence. Now, like I said before, I'm not saying that that's why the election was not violent. I'm saying that after that, they had a peaceful election. So would the Nigerian civic space, the public space, would it be cleaner if our traditional rulers were able to enforce their moral authority? Why hasn't it been happening if you think that it would? The people who will say, for instance, that it's because of the political leadership's moves to undermine the traditional institution, are they correct? Do you think that that's the reason why? Especially considering that the current Olu's grandfather in the 60s was deposed by the First Republic. He reigned as Olu Erejua II, but during the First Republic, the government deposed him. He fled to Benin, and that's where he and Oba Akinzua cursed Nigeria. He fled to Benin, where he was given refuge. On Saturday, the new Olu reversed that curse. But do you think things like that, you know, contribute to why that institution doesn't have the respect that it should have? We'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll take more of your thoughts. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
It's 28 minutes past 3. Are we missing opportunities with our culture? That was our first story. Now, for our second story, there's a shocking story emerging from Imo State. Back in the middle of June, a 22-year-old lady went missing. Her name is Gloria Okolie.
Ever since then, her friends, her family have been looking for her with no luck. They went to the police, they went to other authorities, no luck. And then a shocker. Someone who was released from police custody told them that he saw Gloria there. He claimed that the police were forcing her to do domestic work for them. Cooking all their meals, washing all their clothes, cleaning. So when the family heard this, they contacted a human rights activist. His name is Harrison Gwamishu. And he launched a serious campaign to get the police to release Gloria. At first, there was no response, but he kept up the pressure on them. And also, more and more Nigerians joined on social media. And then the next thing we know, the police answered and they released a statement. And they said, yes, Okolie is with us. She's in custody. And they say, yes, we've been holding her since June 17th. And then when they were asked why, they said that she's an IPOB spy. They claim that she helped IPOB launch attacks on INEC offices and police stations. They say she worked closely with a commander in the Eastern Security Network, ESN. But the people who have been campaigning for her release are not convinced. They believe that this is a cover-up by the police and they're asking questions. So first of all, why didn't the police admit that she was in custody earlier? If she was arrested on June 17th, as they now claim, it means that she's been in custody for 72 days. In that time, her family have been looking for her. People have been looking for her. And the police have not revealed her whereabouts. They hadn't done that. And that 72 days raises another issue. How could the police hold her that long without charging her? You have to remember that under the law, the police can only hold you for 48 hours. They can only hold you for 2 days. After that, they either charge you with a crime and take you to court, or they let you go. And then there's the question of whether or not the police made her do domestic work or any labor at all while in custody. That would, of course, be illegal. But yeah, this is the big story right now. What do you think about it? What do you think about police holding Gloria Okolie for 72 days by their own admission without charge? And what do you make of their accusation that she's an IPOB spy? Women call me on 01465-7190. Men call me on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
I am Mrs. Ajayi, calling from CAA.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
About the coronation. The political institution can only be cleaned up.
Okay.
If they allow their forefather to choose the rightful person to the throne. You understand me?
Okay.
If they do it how they used to do it there. They don't politicize it. It's not one political bigwig somewhere that is the oracle that is predicting the person that you sit on the throne.
Okay.
Everything will work right. Whose child are you to enter the palace, go and pick something there in those days? But now, because most of those kings are not, they are not the people that are supposed to be there. So things do not work. Things will definitely not work the way it should work. That's aside. Then that of Gloria. Since June 17th till today, why didn't the police come out to say, we have found somebody, who is the spy? Instead of turning her into their domestic staff, a young lady. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for calling us. We appreciate it. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Thank you. My name is Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
All right. I want to speak in respect of custom and tradition.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Can you turn your radio off and then go ahead?
Okay. The point is during the Abacha regime, the custom and tradition have been spoiled by the politician leaders. like Obas, on those days, anytime the governor or president went to any state or environment, they would stop offer in the palace. But during that time, the regime of that military turned the tradition and custom and obas to they are making their money by asking the leaders, the obas, to come onto the barracks instead of them to go to the palace and submit and pay homage to the king. So that was the reason many things have turned upside down. I thank God for the Oba that was ordained now, that he revoked that course. I believe the nation, the environment, and everywhere will be okay now. It is the bad leaders that submit themselves because of monetary aspect of it that caused many of these things that are happening now. But I believe in the nearest future, everything will turn upside down. That is what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much for calling Ezekiel to say it. Chika is in Ogun State. Hi, Chika.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. See, this issue of police, that's to show you the kind of country we are. People will wear uniform and be acting like mad people. Was it not the same police that challenged one of the Wazobia staff, expensive, that he will waste his life? That's to show you the kind of country we find ourselves. Police are supposed to be protecting us. Okay, they are holding this young girl since June, and they cannot open up. Even when the parents have gone to police to report that this girl is missing, they couldn't open up, which means they have a serious motive of holding the girl. All this one they are saying that she's a spy to the ESN and the iPod is just a cook-up story to cover up their shame and their evil. They should tell the general police, they should tell Nigerian people the reason why they are holding that girl for since June without letting anybody know that she's in police custody. If not that the person they are holding them together, they saw her, would they have opened up? The family will still be in trauma of looking for their child since June. They should open up and tell Nigerian people why they hold that girl for that long. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chika, for calling. Agoma is in Gbagada. Hello, Agoma.
Hello, my name is Agoma.
Good to have you on the show.
Gbagada, yeah.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon.
Now, talking about the police, you know, this is a common occurrence, what they are doing. Normally, we are told by law, once you are arrested by the police, the police is supposed to contact your person, family member, next of kin, or whatever. If it is in a foreign land, the embassy is to be contacted. And in this case, the police didn't do that. And again, why the family were looking for this woman, definitely they must have contacted the police. And then what did the police, in police rule, the police department that was contacted will relay the same information nationwide to every police station that so-so-so and so person has been found, is declared missing.
Right.
And that is the practice of police. I have the opportunity to have gone to one of the police stations in Orile to release somebody that was detained.
Right.
Now, he was detained for 4 days.
Okay.
What I did found there was that instead of registering him as somebody under their custody, they chained them outside, not making any registration, so that the 24-hour rule will not apply to them.
Goodness.
And yet, we have this department, Human Rights Department, attached to all police stations. You are aware of that?
Yeah.
And they are there witnessing all these things. Who are these human rights? Are they police, picked from the police force to act as if they are human rights activists? They are actually not human rights activists. So they see all these things. And there, in Orile, I found the human rights desk there. And only for me to discover through them that the guy was has not been registered. And yet the person has been there for over 4 days. So this is, and nobody is being punished. Even in this case, nobody will be punished. As you will tell you, what their problem is, they are lacking ammunition. They lack brain, not ammunition, not equipment. The police from top to down lack brain. It's unfortunate, and nobody is doing something about it, not even the presidency.
Agwoma, thanks for calling. Alex Inikeja, how are you?
Hello, Sandra, how are you?
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, you see, if we had a legal system that worked, a government that worked, right, the police would have to provide real hard evidence, you know, as to the guilt of this girl that they are talking about right now. They would have to provide that in court. Failure to do that, really, somebody should be held accountable. Let me tell you something, Chandra. You see this country we are in. Power is a currency. Do you know that?
Okay.
Power is like a currency. You hand over, imagine you hand over so much money to a child and say, go. What do you think the child would do? The one that he will throw away. Long and short, he'll be reckless with it. That is what our leaders are doing. Our leaders are throwing power at these people, carrying guns, wielding guns, in the name of security, providing security for the state. Meanwhile, they are criminals. And the fact that nobody is holding them accountable is another problem for this country. It's a huge problem for this country. You have to, now that this girl is in this situation, nobody is going to be held accountable. Trust me, the court is not even going to require them to provide evidence that they will hold them by if the evidence fails in court. You see, that's the kind of problem. That's why some people say that this is a zoo. I don't say it's a zoo, but that is how some people are calling it.
Alex, oh, sorry, I thought you were done there. Thank you very much for calling. I don't think it's true, though, that, if the police fail to provide evidence in court, it's going to hold up, or that if the girl's family decide to, sue for damages, or for misconduct or any of the other things that they can sue for, they will not get their day in court. I mean, justice grinds slow, but it does grind. I show you, I mean, we just had the Abuja raid on women, the perpetrators of the Abuja raid on women be found culpable. They were just found culpable in court in Abuja. And the women in that case were awarded damages, right? Now, we can have a whole other conversation about whether the damages will be paid and the police will, obey the court orders, etc. But our courts often, stand up sometimes. Now, let me take it to Rivers State. FIRS says that you should keep paying VAT to them if you want to avoid wahala. Last week, I told you about the High Court judgment against FIRS. The court said that they cannot collect VAT in Rivers State because the Constitution gives that power to the states. Rivers State has taken the FIRS to court, and the court sided with the state government. But now FIRS says that they've appealed the judgment and they want everyone to maintain status quo until the appeal is resolved. Meanwhile, Rivers State is moving ahead. Governor Nyesom Wike just signed a VAT bill into law. So now the state will start collecting VAT directly. Let me read what Nwike said about what Rivers State has done to you. Let me read it for you. It says, quote, "We are standing on the part of history as representatives of the state to have taken the bull by the horn to challenge the illegality of the federal government through the Federal Inland Revenue Services. Of course, we are all aware that the states have already been strangulated. Most states depend on allocation from federal account. States have been turned to beggars. Hardly will any day pass that you won't see one state or the other going to Abuja to beg for one fund or the other." End quote. And I want to know what you think about all of this. Do you agree with Mike that the federal government has been strangling the states with excessive taxation? And once again, I want you to tell me which one you would prefer. If you could change the constitution, would you want the federal, state, or local governments to be the one collecting some of these taxes?
Those who want federal are saying that it's necessary for ease of doing business. They say that if you have a universal VAT rate and a single collector, then businesses can plan themselves and they'll know that no matter what states that they find themselves in to operate in, their expenses will remain the same, right? But if you have multiple taxes, if you have multiple states setting their own VAT rates and other tax rates, you create this very complicated tax system. And this affects ease of doing business. That's the argument I've heard from those who want a federal system. Now, do you agree? What do you think about the FIRS saying that we should keep paying VAT to them? Which tier of government do you think should set and collect which taxes? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. You can also share your thoughts via WhatsApp. I'll be coming to WhatsApp in a bit to take a look at your comments. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Jislobe.
Welcome, Jislobe.
See, about the Oba Olowo.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, Obasanjo did not look at the young man. He just did it for the throne. Those on that throne are way older than Obasanjo. That was why he did that. But concerning this girl, see, the truth is, it is hard to get justice against this government. Can you tell me how many people have gotten justice against this particular government and the government have paid them? Even if the family drags the police to the court, at the end of the day, if they should win in court, the police are not going to pay anything to the family. Nothing is going to be done. In fact, just pray they don't end up killing that lady in the cell.
Just look where. Thank you very much for calling. Now, I mean, I know that you know, you say, oh, how many people have gotten justice? And I'll point you to the Lagos NSAS panel, at least. The Lagos NSAS panel has disbursed at least 30 million naira in compensation and damages to people who have been victims of police high-handedness. And it's not just the Lagos State one. You have the Delta State one. You have the Anambra one as well. You know, so all over the country, you have these panels set up by states and federal governments awarding damages to you know, citizens whose rights have been trampled upon by security agents, you know. And I also gave you the example of the Abuja raid on women. I gave you the example of the woman who sued the police. I think I gave you this example earlier this year or late last year. She sued the police you know, for harassing and beating her up during lockdown last year, and she was awarded damages as well. Now, we can have a conversation, a separate conversation about, oh, is the police paying the money? Is the police obeying the court order? But if not to punish, courts, they punish, oh, steady. Courts, they punish, steady. And the panels, they pay the money. If not panel, they pay the money. You know? So I think a separate conversation needs to be had about, well, how do we get the police to actually obey court orders and pay the damages that they are supposed to pay, not the ones that the state is paying on behalf of the police. Austin is really, how are you?
Yeah, fine, man. This is great, listen.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I am just the law of, you know, two people that place the court on Nigeria. So is it possible for only one person to lift up the court? So, because I thought that for it to really have, it is spiritual thing, quite all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if somebody places a curse, there are two. I want to believe that two people, the two of them, should be able to lift up the curse again upon this nation of Nigeria for it to have value. Okay. Because one person cannot just unilaterally, without the authority of the order, now lift up the curse. So if the two of them can be in one place to lift up the curse, then they can lift up the curse from their different locations so that at least it will have value, you know, for sake of discussion. A lot of people are looking at that ceremony as very highly important for the former president of Nigeria, President Olusegun Obasanjo, to go and prostrate to the throne, you understand?
Hmm.
It makes sense. But what I think is that for it to have value, for people to see it as, to reckon with it, it should be something that the president Olu of Warri and the president Oba of Benin, two of them should lift up the cause at different locations so that it will make sense. And people will now say, yes, this is what the history has been made. You understand?
Okay.
And then on the issue of the lady that was, I don't know whether I should call it kidnapped by the police. Because it's a case of being kidnapped. They should take the case to court. Nigeria is a conspiracy. That's the bottom line. Nigeria is a conspiracy skewed to work against the common man. Nothing ever works for the common man. Nothing. So the bottom line is, I don't know how they're going to do it. Because even if you take the police to court, nothing will happen. It's so sad that we have gone to this level. Things are so, upside down in this country. You tell me that you are going to open up grazing routes in Nigeria. Okada people have become Okada herdsmen in Nigeria. Nothing is happening. We used to have cattle herdsmen, now we have Okada herdsmen. And it's gradually becoming something very serious in this country. And nothing is going on. Nobody wants to know. We are having governors that are chartering planes to go and celebrate the president's son's wedding and all that. I mean, it's sad. Very sad.
Thank you for calling us, Austin. Well, Austin talked about grazing, so let's bring you that story. It's our final story on today's Big Weekend. President Buhari is still looking into grazing reserves. We heard that over the weekend from Garba Shehu, his spokesperson. I remember a few weeks ago, the president set up a committee led by the chief of staff, Ibrahim Gambari, and their job was to give him recommendations about grazing reserves. And they've done that. They've identified 368 earmarked reserves in 25 states, but they don't know the current status of those places. They don't know if the land is still available, or if people have built on it, or if it has been sold, and so on and so forth. So they've recommended that the president investigate the status of all these lands and then start the process of gazetting these lands as actual grazing reserves. And the president has accepted the recommendations and asked that the Gambari committee to spearhead the job. And reactions are coming in. Some state governors have rejected these recommendations. They are pointing out that they've already outlawed open grazing in their states. So we've heard from Nyesom Wike in Rivers, Kayode Fayemi, APC governor in Ekiti, Ifeanyi Okowa in Delta, Samuel Otom in Benue. Now, remember that the Land Use Act gives the state governors full powers over the land in their states, over the use of land in their states. And that's why the state governors have insisted in the past that President Buhari cannot insist on grazing reserves in their state if the state governments do not agree. We also heard from Ohanaeze Ndigbo, Pandef, Afenifere, and all of them are rejecting this continued plan for grazing reserves. And I want to know if you agree. Do you think President Buhari should move on with this plan, or do you think the state government's wishes should take priority? You know the numbers by now, 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. Four stories. Which one do you want to talk about? Ngozi is on the line. Hello, Ngozi.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening. Yeah, I'm talking about the lady that was apprehended by Nigerian police in Imo State.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's a clear case of kidnapping for me. Because if you arrest someone and you did not deem it fit to inform the family of this person is under our custody since June till this minute, then there is more to that story, Sandra. For me, it is a clear case of kidnap. Then coming to the traditionals too, for me, Africa, in Nigeria in particular, had a very rich culture, especially our traditional angle. I remember growing up, they had a lot of laws and people feared the traditional rulers.
Right.
Many villages, you hardly see criminality because they even go to the extent of banning people from the villages. So there was sanity. Until the politicians came and politicized that street, Sandra.
Right.
That was the beginning and the fall of morals, even down to the villages. then finally coming to the tax. For me, we have different types of tax. So if something I feel, I don't have problem states collecting taxes or local government. Talking about the business, the reason you gave, what I see there, federal government being at the center, you can give a benchmark.
Okay.
When you give a benchmark, every state goes to their individual state and decides what they want to do with taxing, the amount or the percentage. Bearing in mind the benchmark coming from the center. The benchmark there is just to regulate. As you said, the people that are afraid because of the ease of doing business. So when the federal gives a benchmark, then every state will not exceed or between, they have, you just tilt between their benchmark just to maintain equilibrium or to maintain a certain level of sanity in it. So that me, I don't see reason why federal government should be the one collecting taxes all over the place. I don't see the reason why state governors should be running to Abuja. In fact, that's the major problem why the country and the governors are doing nothing.
Thank you, Ngozi, for calling. Let's take a break, Lagos. We'll be right back.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
On today's big weekend, my questions are we missing opportunities with our cultures? Gloria Okolie, is she an IPOP spy or police slave? Who should control taxation, federal, state, or local government? And should the presidency be implementing grazing reserves, or does this violate the Land Use Act? Those were our four stories on today's big weekend. Let's take a look at WhatsApp messages. Tony Naja says, take the regatta, for instance. We can make much money from tourism. I thoroughly loved those movements on water. Sandra, my name is Henry. I'm on the road. Outside, that girl has been kidnapped. There are a series of killings by the police in the southeast that's underreported or not even reported at all. Nigerian police now. Wow. Sandra, I've assumed that the curse on Nigeria... I would have assumed the curse on Nigeria's problems would have been erased by the new Oba. But guess what? The two devil political parties Nigerians are praising to do more wonders are still living with us. My question is, are we realistic that APC and PDP will stop recruiting thieves and manipulators into different government positions? Is Nigeria not cursed for voting these parties every 4 years and will keep crying bad government? The Oba is only trying to fix what he did not create. We all built these monsters. If we fail to rebuke our association with these two devils, I laugh in Chinese. Even God will deny knowing about our wisdom. How we keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That's from Olaide Cruz in Victoria Island. Olaide Cruz, thank you for your message. Steve O'Ferry on Facebook says, when countries are talking of having civilized police, we're talking about Nigeria. The colonial police in this country was far better than what we have now. Was it? I mean, it's basically the same thing in operation. You know, the colonial police was set up to protect the elite and the colonial masters. Today's police isn't doing that much differently, to be very honest with you. But that's all the time we have for the big weekend. I know that the time just flies when we're having great conversation, but I'll bring you business news. And after the business news, we will bring you Madam Landlord. I've just been informed that Rotimi Sankore's special program will not start today, as I had hoped. It's going to be starting next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that conversation. It will happen right here on your number one talk station.